about Uri Falk?
On Thursday night, Bezras Hashem, Uri Larba also. We're all going to be taking out our torches, our fires, and looking for the chometz. Now, the standard question is a question I've asked quite a few people, and I haven't had a clear answer, which hopefully now we'll be able to answer, is what exactly are we looking for? We've cleaned the house, I've got the torch, and I'm going around, and I'm looking for chometz. Can you tell me what am I looking for? I'm looking for the massive bread. I'm not going to find it, and if I do find it, I'll find it easily. What exactly are you asking me to look for? I've looked through all the chayrim with stocking, through all the nooks and crannies. I'm looking for a gzayis, I'm looking for a biscuit. I don't know exactly, what kind of, what am I looking for? I'll tell you. The answer is that on the Issa of Chometz, we're not allowed to have Chometz on Pesach. There's two things that we have to be aware of. There's the Bali Eroi, Bali Emotze. We're not allowed to be the Bailim over the Chometz. We're not allowed to be an ownership, we're not allowed to have any ownership on Chometz whatsoever. We can't own Chometz, number one. Number two, we're not allowed to eat chometz. Of course, it says in the Torah, for the yechal chometz, there's a chorus to go and eat the chometz. Min haTorah, I could, in theory, just be mevatel, put into my mind, I'm mevatel the chometz, and with that, it's more than enough. I don't own the chometz, it's kafra dara, it's bottle, it doesn't exist, I've got no ownership, I don't want it, and it's not there, and the chometz has gone. I'm not going to eat the chometz on Pesach, I'm sorted. Chazal came along, says in Mishabura, in the beginning of Tof Lamed Aleph, that Chazal were worried for two concerns. Number one is that Dafir Lov, perhaps you're going to really like it and want it, because it's a whiskey, something geschmack. I'm not really mevatel it, I say in my heart that I'm mevatel it, but really deep down I'm not mevatel it. Number two, if I do find it on Pesach, I might come to eat it. Yovel Ochre. If I find it and I see it, I might come to eat it. Therefore, don't just be mevatel, which is enough, min haTorah. Don't do that, say the Rabbanon, but actually go and look for the chometz. So when I'm going to look for the chometz, what I need to look for is a chometz that if I would find it, I might come to eat it. And even if I wouldn't find it, perhaps I wouldn't be mevatel it. Something which is choshev enough in my mind. But if I'm looking for a little piece of dust, a little piece of crumbs, that sort of chometz, if I know that's there, I wouldn't care. I'd be mevatel it. I really need to mevatel it. Yes, I really don't need to have those crumbs of chometz. And you're going to tell me I'm going to come to eat it? Why in the world should I come to eat this little bit of dust, bit of crumbs of chometz lying on the floor? No, I wouldn't come to eat it. I wouldn't dare come to eat it. Therefore, people, Yisrael Kodesh Ohim, they go and check their svarim and empty out their svarim. Now, if you're going to take a sefer to your table on Pesach, there's a very big chashash. There might be a little bit of crumbs inside the sefer. And you might come to go and eat it. To go and eat it? Oh, we have to be very careful. For that, we go and check. We're looking for chometz that might come to eat. Even small little bits of crumbs which might actually land onto my table, I have to be very concerned about. But if I've got a sefer, which I'm never going to bring to my table, or I know I'm not going to bring it, that's what sefer I don't bring to my table on Pesach. I'm extra careful. Why should I check it? What am I checking for? No one goes to the Pesach and just start looking down on the sides. Oh, unless you know I'm doing the year all year round. And so he sees a little bit of crumbs there and he licks his finger and eats it up. Not the crumbs on the side, maybe on the table next to your plate, but not on the crumbs which are falling out of your sefer. That no one's going to do. So therefore there's no chashash on svarim, these things which have got no connection, direct connection to eating, that you don't need to worry about. When you're taking your torch on Thursday night and you're looking around for the chometz, I'm looking for that little bit which I might come to yes eat, that little tidbit, a little soup mandel, that little bit of bisli maybe, or a little sweet or something small that a child or the child within us might come to eat if we would see it. That sort of thing, that in Chalami, I agree. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm looking for that something slightly choshev, something slightly big, something which I might come to look for, but I see a little bit of dust down the side and I can't see what colour brown it is. Maybe it is also a little bit of chometz. I don't need to be concerned about this bottle, kafra dara, it's not my concern. And it's gone, and I don't need to worry about it because I'm not going to come to eat it from there in any case. This is all in the rest of the house, but let's move on until we come to the kitchen. The kitchen, that's where it gets more serious, because there we are mamish handling with food, and the lab of Le'yechal Chometz, we're now to come to eat Chometz, that's very, very serious already. It's getting much more of a serious chashash. I might come to actually go and take that Chometz and It might get mixed with my food on Pesach, and on Pesach, fill the be'elef bottle, not, there's no bittel at all. It comes in, it lands in there, and it lands into my food. A little bit of chometz, that's a very, very serious chashash. And therefore, when it comes to anything in my kitchen, anything on my dining room table, somewhere which is going to come very close to me eating, to where I'm going to be eating on Pesach, that needs a proper and serious clean, serious bedikah. That's not going to help me just to look for the tidbit, to look just for the bizdi. There, I'm going to have to look directly for something, and maybe I'm going to come to eat. A serious chashash, I might come to eat it. That's going to be very, that's very serious. Says the Mechaber in Siman Tov and Aleph Siv Chof, Hashulchon is va'tevois shematznim be'em oichlim kol hashana. Regilim laris aleim roischin. We've got these tables that we always eat and prepare the food on them, the countertops and these sort of places. Pour on them hot water, fishabom, nishbach, marak, minakaderis, aseichon. Sometimes soup, chomets, take a cholent, lands on it, and it's going to become chomets, and then we have to pour hot water over it, which is what we call agola. And says the Mishnah Berurah there, v'shem the maril, some kuftes vav v'yishe kosvu shesorich laniem laniach aleim oid mapo oid overach lechitzis shemalid bak boy adain oid chometz ben. We're so worried that maybe there's a little bit of chometz still left there. Cover it as well. Don't just rely on the fact that you're washing it off and you're going to do the agola to it, but also make sure to cover it as well. You have to go to do the full whack, to the full story of the full covering. So in your kitchen, when it comes to all the cupboards, all the higher cupboards where you're going to put all your kelim inside, you might even put your food inside, there's no chashash there whatsoever that anything fell of chometz, anything fell in there, which is going to be called a plate, which we call a blia. The chashash there is that maybe there's a bit of chometz left there from the packets of chometz that you had there all year round. And if all I need to clean it, give it a good wipe, cover it over, and I'm going to be sorted. There's no reason whatsoever to be pouring hot water over there, because nothing ever came in there in the first place which was hot. Everything which was there was my storage cupboards, all the cupboards which I used for my kelim, for my food. There, it'll be fine, absolutely fine to go and just cover it, clean it and cover it. Same with the fridge, same with the freezers. There, the only concern really is, the real serious concern that we're only concerned about is, you've had chometz all year round, clean it out, cover it. As Mishpur says, Shem the Maril, it's better to cover it as well. By covering it, then you're safe. And you've got, even if there is a little bit of chometz still be'en, a little bit left there, you're okay. However, the countertops, which is what the Mechaber talks about, is the chashash of blias. That maybe something hot fell onto it and got swallowed inside. And in order for that to come out, it's not going to be enough just to wash it off. You can scrub it until tomorrow, but blias, which is not mamoshes, it's not something which is solid, it's not the real food, it is the tam, the taste of the food, which is as serious as food itself, as Chazal call it, tam ke'ika. The taste of the food is as serious as the food itself, and therefore you just have the taste inside the countertop, which you can't see, it's not visible to our eye, but there inside there is a taste. In order for that to get rid of that chometz, that taste which is in there, it's not going to be enough to just clean it. I'm going to have to pour hot water over it to get rid of it as well. Lemaisa, the way I was brought up, and my father saw Rabbi Falk there, we didn't do our agola over the countertops. We just covered it with we used to use a piece of wood, we used lino, anything which is a thick covering. The priests of today say, as long as you're covering it with a thick covering, the chashash is very, very small, that you're worried about a bli, which is eni ben yoyme, which is deep inside there, which is going to come out and then go through the covering and come out onto the top. We don't need to be so concerned. Make sure to cover it, clean it very, very well. If you want to do that gola, the Mechaber says that's what we should be doing. Those who don't do that gola, they're relying on the poskim who say that the fact that you're covering it and it's been covered with a very thick covering, there isn't anything more to be concerned about. Your countertops, they are safe because they've got this thick covering. Any blias which are inside, it's like a new covering. It's like a new countertop. Imagine I take off the whole countertop and replace it. I have to go and put it to a hagol over it. I have to pour water over it to get the blias out. None of that. I don't need to do that. And I've replaced it with a new countertop. But trouble starts when we come to the sink. Not trouble. There have to be more concerned when it comes to the sinks. Our sinks in our house, that is the Avia voice. That is the center point of where all hot chometz lands up eventually. And this is where we're going to be using it for Pesach as well. The sinks, the faucet of the sink, the bowl of the sink, every single part of it, that's where chometz gets inside it, all over it, the whole time, all year round. And we want to clean it properly for Pesach. What do we have to do there? So number one is, I just want to add on one small point, that when it comes to the countertops, our countertops, a lot of them, are made out of formica. Formica is a material which is similar to plastic, which is difficult to know whether we can kasher it at all in the first place, yes or no. Glass is a big sophic, formica also enters this sophic. It's a big sophic, can it be kashered? The Mechaber tells us in Tofnan Aleph that only wood, stone and metal can be kashered. And in the olden days, all countertops are made out of wood, which might have had a lot of cracks, nooks and crannies in it, and therefore the Chazal were concerned just about doing agola. They wanted us to cover it as well. But it was either wood or it was stone. But our formica tops, if those of us who have formica tops, it's kamat. I heard someone said in the name of Rabosha, it's quite useless even to do agola to it. We don't even know if you'd see the tachlis in doing the agola. So therefore, by covering it, there we zicha safe. That's the most important thing, is to put a thick or a few layer covering onto it, and that way we're sure we've got no access, no connection whatsoever to the original chometz. But coming back now to our sink, this is our metal sinks, our stainless steel sinks, which we're talking about now. That is where we want to know, what do we do in order to kasher it? What's the concerns? Now, number one, what's wrong with just covering it? I've got my sink, and I'm going to cover it. If I'm going to cover it, let's say I'm going to. You can buy envelopments, we can buy the sink inserts. I'm going to cover it. I'm going to cover it over with medium thick tinfoil over this, all surfaces around. I'm sorted. Why do I need to be any more concerned than my countertops? There, I was happy to cover it. That was the option that we have been given. So why can't I just cover my sinks and just be happy with that? Why, when it comes to sinks, is Klal Yisrael more machmir and more careful, and we try to do agola? Agola meaning pouring the hot water over the sinks, because of the rule that whatever causes the chometz to go in, the blias to go in, kaboyle kach poeltoi, whatever makes it go in, we're going to have to put it out with, and we're going to have to pour hot water, because it went in with hot water, we're going to have to put it out also with hot water. So what is the concern why we are not just covering our sinks? The answer is to that, because there's a rule, in order for a blia, which is this tam, this little bit of taste that's come out of the main food and gone into the countertop or gone into the sink, for that to come out from one keli into another keli, because I'll tell us it doesn't go out just with heat. You can have it very hot, it's not going to come out. It needs to actually come out with a bit of roita, with a bit of wetness, a bit of water. Our sinks are full of water, and therefore, as soon as you put your sink insert inside and you're going to heat it up, you put on the tap, and your tap reaches 45 degrees and it reaches Yatzeledes, then you've reached the heat that's going to get boiling hot, and now you're going to get the blia which is inside your sink. And it might be a blia of Eina Ben Yoimai, but on Pesach we're concerned about even a blia which is Eina Ben Yoimai. So you've got this blia which is inside your sink of chometz, and now it's going to be touching your sink insert, this bowl which is just there, or the plate, or the covering that you've got there, that you put over it, and the two touching together with the water that's swimming in underneath it, left, right and centre, it's going to come boiling hot, it's going to drain together, and therefore it's much more of a concern, and therefore we're going to want to make sure that we don't have any blias there in the first place, so that when I'm covering it, and if I do cover it, I'll be safe as well. Yeah, there is a blia, but the blia is called the blia which is pogum, blia which is only ben yoimim. And when it comes to Pesach, as chumra de Pesach, chumra of chometz is extra chumra, the whole way through we see that for Pesach, things which don't normally apply, here it does apply, and we're going to be extra careful for any slight chashash of chometz. Question number two. That when we pour over the hot water to pull it out, then the rule is that in order to be able to take out a blia, this non-seeable but real tam, real taste that's inside my keli, my pot, my surface, my sink, in order to pull it out, I need to remove it the same way that it went in. If it went in with a kli rishon, I need to remove it with a kli rishon. If it went in with a kli sheni, I can remove it with a kli sheni. If it went in through Iroi, just by pouring, I can remove it with the Iroi. I don't need to do anything more. If it went in through Eish, it was directly on the fire, it was a frying pan, I need to remove it with fire. And that's what Liban is all about. So you've got a choice of Liban if it was from fire, and you've got Hagola, which is pouring water over it if it came in through water. Why is it that I can't just do Iroi to my sink? The way that my chometz comes into my sink all year round is I take the cholam pot, and I pour water into it when I want to wash it, my wife does, and then turns upside down, pours it out, and it goes into the sink through Iroi. straight area. It might be air conditioner. It might be the conditioner. I don't pour it out. I take straight from the stove. I take the chicken soup and I pour it straight into the sink. So it's irrit happening there. So enough. In order to do agola, all I should need to do is take a kettle, boil it up. That's a clearition. It's got the elements inside. It's boiling hot. And just pour it over my sink. Why should I need to do anything more than irrit? Irrit should be enough. On that, says the Mishnah Berurah, that there's a chashash of something which is called pastida, a double gush, something which is solid. Something which is solid, we brought down Shem the Marashal in Yeridea, Simon Sadi Dalit, that we have to be chashash that maybe something which is a solid food, like pasta, anything like that, Yerushalayim Kugel, something which is a solid, good piece of food, that is like a klirishon, and the whole reason, and the whole mile of a klisheni, when something goes from klirishon to klisheni, is that the walls cool it down. But something which is a solid piece of food doesn't have walls to cool it down, and therefore, you're going to take this piece of your lokshen kugel, and you're going to put it down onto your surface of your sink, you've now got direct, boiling hot klirishon touching your surface. Why is it clearition? Because this lokshen kugel doesn't get cooled down. There's nothing to cool it down. Only liquid gets cooled down by changing it from one keli into another keli. Because the second keli's walls will cool it down. But this is solid in itself. It's self-contained. It doesn't need the walls around it. The walls don't have any effect on it. It'll stay the same. It'll stay the same hot. Therefore, I'm going to have to do a more serious agola to it. I'm going to have to actually pour it over. This marshal who says that every single solid food retains the heat of the original clearition is a chumrah. The Taz holds of it, the Ramaz Mefurish there does not hold of it, and because it's a Chumrah, those who cover their sinks and don't leave it, don't just do Haggadah and leave it as it is, they can rely totally, they don't need to be worried about the Marashal, they can do an Irrei, pour it over, we don't need to be worried about the Pastida, this bit of Lokshen Kugel or so, a bit of pasta, whatever it was, that fell during the year and landed there on that place, on my sink, I don't need to be at all concerned about it, because it's according to many poskim, it's already a klisheni, it's already been poured, it's irri, and the most I need to do is an irri to it as well. If you're not covering it, my parents used to do agola and didn't cover the sinks, straight poured it on, kept it on to the kettle, they need to do it with Evan Mulliman. It's very simple. You used to take the kettle, open up the lid, put on the boil, and because the lid was open, if it kept on the bubble, and it bubbled and bubbled, and while it's still on the bubble, gave it to pour, and so you get clever as years go along, so you put a string there and you keep the lid up and you hold it and you hold the button, keep the button down and you go pouring along and it bubbles and it lands on the bubble and it's directly connected and it's in Furish Drisha in Simon Tofnum base, which says that if it's still connected while it's landing, it's still connected to the source of fire, which is the element inside the kettle, which it is, it lands down, it's boiling hot, it's going to actually, it'll clear everything out and we can use the surface without covering it at all. But for people who have more concerns, myself included, therefore, I'm happy to cover it. It's easy to cover it. So, I don't need to be bothered. I don't need to get too carried away by doing the whole serious Evan Malubin. All I can do is turn on the kettle. When it switches off, it's been on its full heat. Take it as it is. Do an irre, pour it over, and I'm sorted. That's all. Pardon? He didn't cover the taps. No, only the little spout that was there, which for the little plug. That was the only thing that he just put a bit of tape over it, because that wasn't so safe. But he knew it well enough that he was safe enough. When it comes to Agola, it says that we should always have a Rav near us. When we do Agola outside here today, there was always a Rav there. We went to do Agola, so you have to be safe. I'll try and get there. I'm sorry. Oh, ran out of time. Right. Really, the problem is what are our concerns? What are our problems when it comes to doing Agola? So now we're up to the Agola. Okay, so quickly, what do we have to do when it comes to cleaning our sinks? To get our sink properly ready. Number one is that it has to be 100% clean. There can't be at all a mashu of chometz left on that sink, because if you're going to pour it over, however you're going to pour it over, even if it's going to be an irri, you're going to be taking the kettle and you're going to pour it on, if you've got a mashu of chometz there, then that mashu of chometz is now going to go inside and it's going to be brand new, you're going to start again from scratch and you're going to be messed up. And if you've got it there, you're going to have to now clean the area, wait another 24 hours and do it again. If you're really tight with time, then it is a eitzah to put soap inside the kettle, don't use the kettle straight afterwards, but pour soap inside the kettle, and then because it's a dover pogum, you can pour it over. That's only if you're really stuck. Chazal don't really want us to do agola with anything else but water. Soap isn't water, therefore preferably don't do that. If necessary, then you can sort it out. But first of all, make sure that it's absolutely 100% clean. Number two, Chazal told us to make sure that it's Einoi Ben Yoimoi. It is more than 24 hours old. The reason for this is, because I've got a simple question. Every time you do a Agola, you pour something, anything, take any keli. You pour it, you pour hot water over it. Let's say we're doing it this way around, you're pouring hot water over our sink, and out comes the chometz. Wonderful, it's boiling hot, the chometz goes straight back in. What have I gained? The answer is that before we do the Agola, we wait 24 hours. And therefore, anything which is in there is pagam, is gone. It's totally, it's non-existent. Chazal told us, don't use a keli which is Einoi Ben Yoimi, which is more than 24 hours old without having been used for anything, even if it's been used for treifas. Don't use it, because chashash, you might come to use a keli which is yes Ben Yoimi, which is a chashash on the keli itself. Don't use a sink or any pot which has been used for treifas, even though it hasn't been used for 24 hours, and now anything which is in there is totally pagam, it's totally pogam, it is totally rubbish, it is not there, it is kafra dara, it is like dust. Don't use it, because you might come to use a normal keli. However, so the food inside it, all the water that's inside it, is absolutely fine. You're going to now pour that water over it. Out is going to come a blia, which is pogum. This blia pogum is heta, it's mutta, it's absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that blia that's coming out. It's now going to go back in. What's come back in? That's something which is clean water. In fact, some people say you're allowed to drink that water on Pesach. The water which has come out, it's nothing. It's hetzedek water, it's blia pogum. What's wrong? It's come out. The keli itself, don't use when it hasn't yet had agola, because you might come to use it without, when it was, even within 24 hours. But now in itself, so number two, to make sure it's been 24 hours. If it hasn't been 24 hours, then it can get a bit complicating. But like the answer we said before. Number three is, to which way around, just one small question. When people, if you do agola, those who don't have a piece of kitchen, if you do agola to your sinks, then where do you start? This is a million-dollar question. Do you start from the top? Do you start from the bottom? Do you start from the middle? Do you start? Where are you meant to start? Are you meant to start from the drain board? Or are you meant to start from the bottom there? There's all different svaras, all different reasons why you should start from all different places. So someone say you should start from both sides. Say, yeah, you can't. No one says that. You got what's the, where are you meant to start from? You're going to start from the bottom. Then people say Zay is going to come up. You say you start from the top, then all the blia is going to fall out. The answer is, it doesn't make any difference. You can start from wherever you want, because we've just now said that any blia that comes out is heta. And therefore there's absolutely no concern, there's no worry whatsoever. It is preferable, some people find it easier like that. One thing you have to be careful for is tatar gova. Make sure that when you're pouring the hot water, you're pouring it onto a surface which is 100% dry. It means before you started pouring, it was dry. Once you started pouring and you carry on pouring, nothing wrong. So make sure it's 100% dry. And for that reason, some people prefer to start with the bottom part, because then that bottom part it's 100% dry, the bottom of the bowl, and then you go up and you go along the walls and you go higher. I was brought up to always start from the higher part. It's more convenient. That's more practical. Therefore, we started from the tray, and then we work downwards, go to the walls. But yesterday, I had it. I was catching my sinks, and I did the rim around the bowl. And then suddenly, I said, "Oh, plenty of water still in the kettle. Let's carry on. Let's do the walls." But suddenly, I realized, "No, I've done the rim. I've been all the way around. I did it quite carefully." And I'm starting again. I'm sorry, this thing's sopping wet, and it's already cooled down. It's been already, I don't know, quite some time since I was there. So I stopped. Take out the towel, wipe it all up, in seconds it's dry. It's such hot water, it dries in absolute seconds, and then do the next part, then carry on the next part to continue. You have to make sure that it's properly dry. Number four, with what we've spoken about before, that make sure that if it's, you're not covering it. So when you're pouring that it lands, I was told that roughly an 8-inch radius around where the water lands. That's got the power of the water around it. Further than that, the water's going to spread. So you go like an inch, just slowly go around it, through it like that. And with that, everything was clearly sorted. And afterwards, we just wash off the water. That's a minigan cladisrol that we wash it off. Cold water, wash it off, make sure it's all clean. But with that, Mr. Shem, we're going to be sorted. Our problems, the concerns that we might be having have hopefully gone. We won't have any of these problems. And Mr. Shem, our sinks should be kosher as long as we've got it clean beforehand, as long as it's dry when we're going through it. And Mr. Shem, we'll be able to eat. Kedusha b'tahara v'ezah Hashem. Shaykh Rabbi Yisrael.